Good morning. It's a pleasure for me to be here with you on this Lord's Day, to be able to share God's Word. On behalf of Mission of the World, I want to express my heartfelt thank you for Hickson Prez for your many years of faithful service to the kingdom and also your faithful partnership with Mission to the World. If you have your Bibles, I'd invite you to turn to Acts chapter 1, verses 1 to 8. As we give ear to the reading of God's very own word. Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 8. This is God's very own word. In the first book, O Theophilus, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach, until the day when he was taken up, after he had given commands through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. He presented himself alive to them after his suffering by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. And while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, "You heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." So when they had come together, they asked him, "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It's not for you to know the times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. You'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth." This is the word of God. Father, help us to reflect on these words read in our presence. Help me by your Holy Spirit to speak just what you have for us today. In Jesus' name, amen. As Pastor Johnson mentioned, our family had the privilege of serving in Cambodia as missionaries. When we first came, we would meet many young Cambodian non-Christians, and we would ask them, "What are your dreams for your future? What are your hopes for your life?" And almost to a person, they'd answer in the same way. They'd say, "Well, my dream is to have a good job, a nice house, and a good family." We then meet young Cambodian Christians and would ask them the same question. Can you guess how they answered? Almost to a person, they said, "Well, my dream is to have a good job, a nice house, a good family." Now, there's nothing wrong with certainly these blessings. They are gifts from God. How would you answer that question? You know, I think if we think about it, is this all we could hope for in life? I'm afraid if we're not challenged, I think we're going to be challenged today. We'll naturally gravitate to what the world is selling us. What's the world selling us? It's the American dream. Well, today, Jesus, he challenges us to reimagine what our dreams for our future might be like. And he presents to us the vision of the kingdom of God. And he invites us to join in his kingdom mission. So today we're going to be confronted with some pretty important questions for our lives as we reflect, number one, on Jesus' kingdom vision, what he wants to see. Secondly, his kingdom mission, what he's calling us to do. And finally, his kingdom power. So let's start. Where do we begin as we think about this alternative view, alternative dream for our lives? We begin with an encounter with the resurrected Jesus. Verse 3 tells us, after his suffering and death, Jesus, he presented himself alive. The resurrection changes everything. He appeared to his disciples for 40 days. What was he talking to them about? It says in our passage, verse 3, he was talking to them about the kingdom of God. if all there is in life is this life, then it makes perfect sense to eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. But if the resurrection is real, if the resurrection is true, then everything changes, right? It means there is life after this life. It means there is a kingdom that will last forever. It means that our time here is just, it's just a blip when compared to what comes next. So why should we settle for this American dream when Jesus presents to us a better dream, a bigger dream, a more beautiful kingdom? He shows us what this kingdom will be like. How? He shows us what the kingdom will be like by showing us himself. All those who belong to the kingdom, his kingdom, will be like Jesus. They'll be raised from the dead, never to die again. Life without corruption, life without sickness, life without fear of judgment, life without sin. This is what we were created for. It's why he made us. And it's where we'll find our ultimate satisfaction and joy in life. Here's the point we often miss. We don't have to wait till we die to live in and for this kingdom. In 2020, when the pandemic began, we thought at Mission to the World, this is going to be really bad for global missions. All of a sudden, the world became a lot scarier. Right? Who in their right mind would pursue global missions during a global pandemic? And yet, as we continue to pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest field, as we continue to pray for the 1%, more and more missionary applications came into our inbox. In fact, we had the third largest class of missionaries that we've had in the past 9 years, over 50 new missionaries just in that year alone. And so I asked my candidate director, I said, what's going on here? What are you seeing when you meet with a candidate? And he said, it's not like it was in 2008. Remember what happened in 2008, the Great Recession? He said, back then people, quite honestly, many of them were just looking for a job. But the candidates that he is meeting today are those who've been sitting in their office, sitting at home, locked down, asking themselves this question. Do I want to be doing what I'm doing now for the rest of my life? Or is God calling me to something different? You ask yourself that question recently? Today we're presented with an alternative dream to the American dream. So how do we begin to live more for that kingdom? Well, the prerequisite to pursuing this kingdom vision is having an authentic relationship with Jesus. If we don't know him, if we've not been radically changed by his gospel, we have no hope for life in his kingdom. In fact, without a vibrant relationship with Jesus, we'll naturally gravitate to what the world is selling us. So can I ask you this morning, who's Jesus to you? Is he your life? Is he your first love? Is he your all? The prerequisite to life in the kingdom of God is having an authentic relationship with the King. It's not simply enough to grow up in the church. It's not enough simply to know the right answers. There's a difference between knowing about Jesus and knowing Jesus. So can I ask you again, do you know him? Do you know the one who sees us in all of our ugliness and sins and selfishness and still loves us? Do you know the one who has given his life on the cross on Calvary Mount to pay for all of our sins? Do you know the resurrected living Lord over all of creation? This morning, Jesus, he invites us to know him, to worship him, to love him, to follow him. And you see, the more that we know Jesus, the more that we're known by Jesus, the more eager we are to align our dreams and hopes and ambitions to his, and to have our vision, his kingdom vision. This leads to the second point. The second point is understanding Jesus' kingdom mission. You know, if you think about it, Jesus' disciples didn't struggle with wanting a comfortable life. They left everything. They left their family, they left their homes, they left their jobs to follow Jesus. But their problem was that they didn't quite understand the scope and nature of Jesus' kingdom mission. After seeing their resurrected Lord, they ask him this question. They say, Lord, at this time, will you restore the kingdom to Israel? Who is asking this question? Israelites. In essence, they're saying, Lord, when are you going to give us back our kingdom? The assumption was that God's kingdom was primarily for them, for their nation, for the chosen race. They were thinking so much about themselves. They couldn't imagine that God's plans went beyond them to the ends of the earth. How about us? Are we so focused on ourselves, so focused on our people, so focused on our problems, that we forget about God's purposes for his world? So how does Jesus respond? He tells them, it's not for you to know the times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, where they were, to Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Do you see what Jesus is doing? He is turning our attention away from ourselves toward his kingdom mission. And he expands our understanding of his kingdom from where we are to the ends of the earth. Because God's desire is to fill his creation with his glory and his dominion. It's right there in Genesis chapter 1. The ultimate plan of God is redemption of all nations. Now, I think it's easy for us, particularly as Americans, to think of our faith as an individual thing. And it is true, we need a personal faith. But I think we only see it at times as being personal. But God's plan is much bigger than our own individual salvation. His purpose is for his kingdom to stretch to every inch of the world. And here in this short passage, he explains to us, he shows us how he's going to accomplish his plan. It's through his Holy Spirit working in and through his disciples, through us. How? By each of us receiving this amazing grace that Jesus offers, having our lives transformed by his gospel, and then bearing witness to others, making disciples of Christ. And these disciples in turn make other disciples in other places until the world is full of those who bow the knee to our King Jesus. I was driving from Atlanta to Tennessee, and on the side of the highway I saw this large billboard, and it said, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess it, Jesus Christ is Lord. And I thought to myself, wow, only in the American South do we see signs like this. And then as I drove closer, I saw in smaller print, even the Democrats and a little devil's pitchfork, to which I thought, wow, only in the American South do we see signs like this. But it's true, is it not? One day every knee will bow. One day every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And here in our passage, Jesus, our King, he says we get to participate with him in this. As we bear witness that our King is alive, and he freely offers salvation to all who call upon his name. What an honor. You realize that over 40% of the world, we're talking over 3 billion people, live in a context where there are less than 2% evangelical Christians. We call these unreached people groups. Most people in these contexts are born, live their whole life, and die without ever meeting a Christian. And of all the full-time Christian workers, pastors, missionaries, less than 1% are sent to minister to these unreached people groups. Let that sink in. That's a huge imbalance. And so what we need is an army of those whose lives have been transformed by the gospel to go to these places where there is little to no gospel witness. This is Jesus' kingdom mission. It's not the same when people from unreached people groups come here to the United States. Why? Because once they're here, guess what? They have access. They have access to you. They have access to the church. They have access to mentors and disciples. But those in unreached places have no access at all unless people go with the good news of Jesus Christ. Maybe you, like me, are overwhelmed by these statistics. Maybe you too feel the weight and the gravity of the task before us, and you think it's impossible. It's impossible. The work itself is, even if we were to go, think about it, moving your family, your kids to a foreign place, learning a new language, and then trying to bear witness in often hostile environments. The work itself, it's impossible. This leads us to the last point, kingdom power. Instead of sending off his disciples immediately, what does Jesus do? He tells them to wait. He tells them to wait for the promise of the Father. He tells them to wait for the Holy Spirit to come upon them. Why was this so important? Jesus knows we can't do this impossible work by our own power, by our own abilities, by our own wisdom. We need to be filled with this Holy Spirit, the very Spirit of Christ. And so what happens when the Spirit comes upon us? Not only does the Spirit convict us of our sins, leads us to faith and repentance in Jesus, but the ongoing work of God's Spirit actually changes us, makes us to be more like Jesus. A young mother was watching her two boys, and they began fighting over a toy. The mother turned to them and said, "Now, boys, you need to stop fighting. You need to share. What would Jesus do?" And the older brother looked at his younger brother and said, "Okay, it's your turn to be Jesus. Give me the toy." See, a mother's chiding doesn't actually change us, does it? The Holy Spirit of Jesus does. The Spirit enables us to love even our enemies, to sacrifice, suffer for others. They might come to know our King. How does the Apostle Paul describe the fruit of the Spirit in our lives in Galatians 5? You know them. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. When the Spirit comes upon us, changes us, it gives integrity, gives power to our witness. It's not us. It's Jesus in us. And so as we think about this impossible mission, we are reminded it's not our power, it's not our abilities, it's not our wisdom that accomplishes this mission, this task. It's Jesus. His Spirit empowers us. His Spirit emboldens us. His Spirit equips us to this impossible work. Believing this should give us incredible freedom. Freedom to risk, freedom to dream, freedom to pursue God's calling in our lives, however, wherever, and whenever He calls. Do you believe this? So can I ask you again, what are your dreams for your life? Jesus, He wants more for us than simply living a comfortable life. And He presents to us this picture of the kingdom of God. And He invites us to live in it and seek the expansions of its borders. Kingdom of peace, a kingdom of righteousness, a kingdom of justice, a kingdom where the king is good and trustworthy, and ultimately a kingdom where there'll be no war, no tears, no suffering, no sickness, no pain, no sin, and no death. What are your dreams for your life? Nice house, a good family, a good job. Can you imagine the house that Jesus is preparing for us even now? Can you imagine what our resurrected family, glorified family, will be like in the kingdom of glory? What better job could there be than bearing witness to our King with the promise of His indwelling Spirit and presence? If there was ever a time to be involved in global missions, beloved, it is now. We read about it all the time. Our world is broken. It's wars, conflict, suffering. And so can I challenge you, even if you are not called to go, would you give and sacrifice as much as those who are called to go? All of us who belong to the kingdom are called to this kingdom mission. And so we can be involved in our prayers, in our encouragement, in our generous sacrificial giving, in sending and supporting those who are called to go. All of us are to be involved in expanding the borders of the kingdom of God, both here locally to the ends of the earth. And so let me end with this Indian benediction. It goes like this. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father be with you and disturb you and trouble you and set before you an impossible task and dare you to do it until in your desperation you fall on your knees and remain there until He fills you with His power. And then, but only then, may the Lord grant you His peace. Father, thank you for these words that you have given us in your word to remind us of this kingdom that you have brought and are inviting us to live in and for. Would you fill us with your Holy Spirit? Would you fill those who are here who belong to you? And remind us, Lord, of this great calling we have to be witnesses of Christ in the kingdom here and to the ends of the earth. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.